When I look back on the most painful moments of my life, I can't help but think that losing my mom to cancer some 20 years ago is right at the top of the list. And it's crazy because even though it happened a long time ago, sometimes that wound of that loss is so fresh, it's like just happened yesterday. I committed several weeks to become the caretaker for my mom just before she died. And one of the favorite memories I have of that time together may sound weird, but it was times when I tried to help her to the bathroom. She couldn't walk at the time. Cancer had taken its course. And she hated not being independent. She was embarrassed that her son was taking her to the bathroom. And so I tried to make light of the situation. And so I would stand her up and I would put her arms on my shoulders. I would face her. And then I'd begin to walk backwards. And as I did, I would always start to sing some song and pretend to dance with her all the way to the bathroom. And her face would just light up. And it was interesting how such a painful moment like that, she was having excruciating pain just moving. I was in emotional pain, knowing that this was some of the last few days that I would ever see her again on this earth. And even in the midst of that, that we could share this like beautiful moment together was pretty amazing. There was this beautiful sense of joy in the midst of our pain. And since that time, I've known some pain, I've known some hurt, I've gone through some tough times, and I've learned a thing or two through the years. I've learned that my pain is unique to me, and it's helped to make me who I have become today. I've learned that the people that we love the most tend to hurt us the deepest, even if it's unintentional. I've learned that the experience of hurt and pain changes a person forever. And I've learned that we should never, ever, ever expect a life that will ever be free from pain this side of heaven. I think we've all gone through times in our lives when it seems like we can't cry hard enough to express the sorrow that we're feeling when it's just cutting into our soul. A pain so deep, a loss so great that even though you try to run from it, you find that when you finally slow down, in the quiet moments of your life, even years later, 20, 30 years later, you realize that the pain is still there, and it's very, very real. For some of us, we've experienced the loss of someone we loved so much, and their death has just left a permanent hole in our heart. Some of us have this nagging sense of loneliness and despair, and we can be in a room full of people and still feel so alone. Some of us struggle with depression. Some of us are having marital crisis. Others of us have been hurt by somebody and they did something that affected us so deeply it doesn't feel like we'll ever get past it. Whatever it is for you, pain and suffering is the common thread that brings us together in the most basic form of our humanity. None of us are immune to it. It leaves us raw and exposed and vulnerable and in need of healing. And the question is, how do I get that healing? Where do I go from here? How do I move on? That's what we're trying to do in the first part of this series called Revision, where we're trying to kind of create a new vision for our lives, but in order to do that, we kind of have to move past some of the past hurt and pain and brokenness and junk of our lives. And so today we're talking about moving past our pain. And as we talked about last week, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that, you know, there's some easy answer or there's some 1-2-3 formula that you can, you know, follow and boom, you're done. It's just not that easy. But I do think it's important to have some honest conversation about the things that we struggle with and just to be open and honest about the things that we're dealing with. In the last days that I spent with my mom, who is truly the strongest person of faith that I've ever known, we sat down and we had some honest conversation. I learned a lot from her, even in her death. There was a strength and a faith that was amazing. But I had a chance to interview her, actually, for a message that I was doing at Westridge 20 years ago or something. And so I asked her how her getting cancer had impacted her faith. Like, did it shake her faith in God? And she, without even blinking, she pulls out her Bible and she starts reading from Romans chapter 5, and she stops and she looks up and she says, "Ever since I've felt my life slipping away from me every day, I've really leaned on this verse and I start every day reading this passage." And it goes like this: "Therefore, since we have been made right with God through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand. And we have confidence in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And our hope will not disappoint us because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us." It's interesting because when Paul talks about our suffering here, it has the idea that my pain and my hurt that I have experienced in my life is different from yours. It's unique to me. We may have similar circumstances. You may have lost your mom, and I've lost my mom, but it's different. No two moments of pain are identical. If I were to go around the room, I think that everybody could share a story that would just rip your heart out of something that you have gone through and experience this sense of loss or pain. But what that means is that every single one of us has a story on which our life has been built. How we've come out of that pain and how that has become a part of our life, and it makes us who we are today. It's part of our DNA. And I think we have this choice, like we talked about last week in the idea of brokenness, that we can either embrace it and grow as a result of it, or we can stay stuck in our pain and think of ourselves as a victim and remain bitter. And the truth is, a lot of people make that choice and they never recover. And so we've got to be willing to take the time to work through our pain in an honest way and talk about what's really going on. For instance, it's very common for people to become angry with God as a natural response to some tragedy or something that has occurred in people's lives. And people have wrestled with their anger towards God since the beginning of time. When something happens in our lives, we tend to ask God the question, why? Why me? And if we're honest with each other, the truth is that we've all gone through times where we've questioned God, or we've been angry with God, or we've had our doubts. And I have to tell you, that's okay. It's very much a part of our human experience to struggle with God like that. And the problem is that we were somehow taught to believe that if we question God, that all of a sudden lightning bolts are going to like start flying out of the sky. And so instead of dealing with those tough faith issues in a honest and healthy way, we stuff them. Because we're afraid of what people will think about us if we say the truth about how we're feeling. I talk about my doubts with God all the time. I question God all the time. But that doesn't have to crack the foundation of my faith. Struggling with God over the issues of life doesn't show a lack of faith. That is faith. That's how faith is made. We create our faith with our own two hands, and it's built on times of struggle and working through the tough issues in an honest way. And I believe that at the end of the day, that's what makes our faith strong. Which is exactly what I think that Paul is getting at in this passage when he says, we can glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. I mean, it almost seems like he's building a framework for our faith, and suffering is like the foundation that everything else is built on. That when we go through those times of pain, that somehow we learn to persevere. And the whole idea behind the word that he uses there for perseverance, the actual definition, is to bear up under something and then to continually and persistently apply force against it. In other words, going through times of pain and persevering through times of hurt and pain requires all the strength that we can muster just to survive it. And it beats at you and it's constant. Perseverance has the idea that no matter how difficult life gets, no matter how battered or bruised my faith may become, we hold on to that faith until the very end. Which is the reason why I believe that my mom held on to this passage so tightly. She said, and I'll remember this so clearly, she said, I don't know that I can glory in my suffering, she said. But I can persevere. And I can hold on to my faith until the end because I know that my hope is real. I think that the word that threw my mom off there was she didn't quite know what to do with this idea of glorying in your suffering. And you know, on the surface, it sounds almost like you're boasting about it or something. But I think what Paul meant here was the same thing that the Apostle James was getting at in the book of James chapter 1 when he says, consider it pure joy when we encounter trials and pain of all kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so be patient. Let perseverance finish its work so that you can be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Sounds very similar to the Apostle Paul's counsel. I think that both James and Paul are trying to help us understand this concept of joy. Because joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Happiness is superficial. Happiness is based on your circumstances. Happiness is not something that you can cling to when you've lost a loved one or you're in a financial crisis. Joy, on the other hand, is something that is with you for the long haul. Real joy has this deep, sustaining quality that can only come from God. And even in your darkest moments of sadness and grief and loss, you can experience still this deep sense of joy. It's almost surprising, where there's this sense of peace and contentment even in the midst of your pain. And you can't quite describe it, but you feel it. And so the image of Christian joy begins to emerge, where we begin to understand that it is through our suffering, through our pain, that we begin to grow, that we begin to change, that through our struggle and wrestling through our pain, we find a more meaningful and richer faith. And both James and Paul say that from persevering through the pain of life, it produces in us a character that changes us forever. We become different. We have a depth and a substance that we've never had before, because this hurt and pain helps us to understand that there's more to life than just the superficiality of this world. And when you go through a time of pain and hurt and loss, all of a sudden you thirst for things that have meaning, things that are real. And you go, what the crap have I been chasing all these years? For what? I want to hold on to something that has purpose and meaning and substance. And we begin to see our lives through a different lens. As many of you know, I'm a big fan of great wines. And one of the things I love to do with my wife, Shelby, is to go out to Napa and to tour all the vineyards of all the wines that we love. And as you're walking through these vineyards and as you're walking through the rows of the grapevines, inevitably the winemaker will reach down and he'll grab a handful of that dirt. And he'll say, these vines, they have to struggle. This soil is harsh. It's full of rocks. We don't water these vines. We force them to struggle because then their roots go down deeper. And the deeper their roots are, the stronger they are, the stronger the flavor that comes out of them, and the better the wines. I really believe that's how it happens with us. That we just have to struggle through that pain. There's no easy way out. We can't just gloss over it. We have to dig in and build this deep-rooted faith where, when we do, we become more powerful in our lives. We become more authentic. And that experience changes us forever. Well, I love how this Romans 5 passage ends up in verse 5 when it says that the result of everything that we go through ultimately will not lead us to despair, but to joy because of the hope that we have. And he makes a very important point of saying that our hope is something that will not disappoint. When you translate that literally from the Greek that it was originally written in, it says that we have a hope that will not put us to shame. Paul's saying, go ahead. When times are tough, you go ahead and you put your faith in God. Go ahead. When you experience a time of pain and you feel hopeless, you put your hope in Jesus. And I promise you this, at the end of the day, He will be there for you. He will not disappoint you. Because we have a God who loves us beyond belief. A God who is there for us even in the worst of times. The greatest image that I have of Christian joy is the image that I have of my dad the day after we buried my mom. As you can imagine, it was very difficult. They'd been together since they were like 13. And my mom, she absolutely loved roses to the point that every year all of us kids knew exactly what we would get mom for Mother's Day or for her birthday. We'd all buy her a rose bush. And so over the years, she had built up quite an extensive rose garden. And as my mom was dying and become bedridden, my brother had the foresight, and he'd go out and he would get her a fresh rose out of her garden so that she'd be able to enjoy her roses every day. And so these roses became a symbol of hope for us in the middle of some pretty dark times. Well, the morning after the funeral, I stayed with my dad that night. I was just worried about him, and so I stayed at the house. And that morning I got up early and I was looking around the house. I couldn't find him anywhere. So I walk into the kitchen and I look out the window, and there's my dad standing in the middle of my mom's rose garden. And it was such an incredible image because he was sobbing. Tears were rolling down his face. But at the same time, he had this smile on his face where he was almost laughing as he was bent over in the middle of my mom's rose garden, smelling the roses. When I try to create an image in my head of what a Christian in pain looks like, I think of that image. Tears streaming down our face because the pain is all too real. But that through the tears, we can smile. We can find this sense of joy because we have this hope that will not disappoint, that one day we'll see that person again, that one day I'll overcome this pain. One day God is using this to create something in me. Because the Bible says that from the ashes of our pain, God promises that He will create something beautiful in us, making us into something different, something real. And because of that, we can walk through the most difficult times with a sense of joy. You see, walking through your pain in an honest way and acknowledging it instead of stuffing it, instead of glossing over it, instead of getting real busy into the daily grind, when we can work through it in an honest way and be honest about the way that we're feeling, about what we're experiencing, that's what makes our faith stronger. Our faith is built on that suffering. And when we do that, it makes us a different person. We put behind the superficiality of this world and we grab hold of things that have meaning. We want to be around people that have that same kind of depth, that have gone through what we have gone through, that have walked where we have walked. It gives us a sense of authenticity. And it's in those times, those are the things that make us real.